بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم الرجل على أهله الرجل على دين خليله فلينظر أحدكم من يخالل أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم الحمد لله رب العالمين Indeed all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sustainer of the world and we send durood and salam peace and salutations upon our noble master Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali wa ashabi sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Undoubtedly, the greatest bounty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could possibly confer upon any person is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses a person with iman. For the simple reason that if a person is to leave this world with iman, then forever and ever that person is successful. But if a person is to leave this world without iman, forever and ever, time immemorial, that person is unsuccessful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His infinite grace, kindness and mercy has blessed us all with iman. And thus according to a hadith is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us. In the hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, as far as the entities of this world are concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants it to all and sundry, whether Allah loves a person or not. But iman Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only grants a person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. This is a clear sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has love for each and every one of us. And it's only right that when someone displays their love to you, that you reciprocate and you pay it back. And thus also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not left for our own understanding. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires and requires from us is simple. Allah ta'ala mentions in the Quran al-Kareem, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ I have not created jinn and men, but that they worship me. That we become the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The word used is abd. Abd is a slave. Not a servant, a slave. The difference is a servant, if he decides I don't want to work today, he won't work. I'm not going to get salary, no problem. But a slave, whether he likes it or not, whether he's in the mood to do it or not, when the master tells him something, then he has to comply. So this is our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our master and we are the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In our entire life, this is how we should be living. So comes the day when we leave this world, we understand that whatever I've done as a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward me accordingly. So Allah mentions in the sayah of the Quran al-Kareem and we've heard it time and again, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullah. O you have believed, ittaqullah, inculcate within yourself this quality of taqwa, Allah consciousness. So what is taqwa? Many a times, if you look in the translations of the Quran, they say fear Allah. But this fear is a special type of fear. This fear is a fear which a person has, not because he is scared, but because of the innumerable favors of Allah, he is scared in this sense, that how can it be possible for me to disobey Allah? Take a simple example. If a person has a child, and throughout his life, whatever the child wants, the person is giving him. And one day the father asks the child for a glass of water. So the child, in our terms, will say, will feel shy. My father has given me everything. How is it possible that I can refuse him one glass of water? So this fear is not one because I am scared, but because the love he has. So in a similar way, when he mentioned ittaqillah, exactly the same thing is referred to. Allah has blessed me with so many things. And I just mentioned the greatest bounty, that of iman. How is it possible that I disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah ta'ala says, وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ And remain in the company, be with those who are truthful. So many places in the Quran al-Kareem, Allah ta'ala mentions this ayah, يَا أَيُّوَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ And mufassirin, ulama mentioned that after this, whatever Allah mentions, that is a means of a person getting the taqwa that Allah Ta'ala is talking about. So Allah Ta'ala, for example, Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ittaqullah, wal tanzur nafsum ma qaddamat lighad. If you want to create yourself the scholar of taqwa, do this. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha wabtaghu ilayhi alwasila. Allah mentions regarding fasting, kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Person goes for hajj. Fa inna khayra az-zadi at-taqwa. So Allah Ta'ala, whenever He mentions this quality, Allah is giving us a means of basically getting this quality in our lives. So this ayah Allah Ta'ala mentions, stay with those who are truthful. So what's the meaning of truthful? It's simple, that a person's outer and inner self must be the same. What's on the outside must be on the inside, and what's on the inside must be on the outside. The skulu ma'al sadiqeen, all the bayans will basically get, stay with those people who are pious. So a question was asked to one alim, that all the pious people have gone now. There's no more pious people. What must I do? How is it possible for me to get their company? So he gave a very beautiful answer, saying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this command in the Quran, that you must be and remain with those who are truthful. In other words, till the day of Qiyamah, there are going to be such people. Allah will create such people, and they are the people with whom you have to spend your time with. And the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, a person will follow the religion of his friends. So each and every one of you should see whom he befriends. As far as this friendship is concerned, not only the friendship, this company of the pious, Allama Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi gave two or three examples, and he mentions how important this is. So in the words of my Sheikh, Sayyidi wa Mawlaya Murshidi, Hazrat mentions that the thorns complained to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding a rose. And they say, Wallah, you've given the rose such status. Everyone just wants to buy roses. And for us, the person just touches the thorn and the person starts swearing. So it is still sort to say, Allah, this is something we may say it's unfair. So he mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies, that, oh my thorns, just be near the rose and you will get the status of the rose. Person buys a rose, even one or two thorns, they have to be. So the price of that rose also is included in there is the price of these stones. So they have the same value as the rose. In another instance he mentioned that the stones complained to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so to say, that Allah has given rice such value, and the stones, the people when they separate it from the rice, they throw the stones away, the small stones. The olden days they should clean the rice like that. Nowadays we'll just buy the rice ready made. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the stones that as long as you stay with the rice, you will have the value of the rice. In other words, our scenario is, you stay with these people and you'll have their value. And a simple way for us to understand, if a person has a fridge, a person puts a liquid in a fridge, you put water in the fridge, there's no need to tell the water that get cold now. Automatically the water will become cold. So in a similar way, when we are spending our time in the company of these people, automatically every person sitting here knows there's a different feeling in me when I'm in their company. So the object is to make the outer and the inner part equal. How I am outside, my heart should also be the same inside. This deen that we are following has basically two aspects. One is the outer aspect, and that is what we call the sharia. So we've got the rules and regulations. And then we have the inner aspect, which we term now as tasawuf, that a person prepares his heart. Why would we do this? We've heard already previously also the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioning the position of the heart in the body is that of a ruler, the one in charge of everything. وَإِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُدْغَةً إِذَا صَلَحَ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ. In the body there's a heart, a piece of flesh that controls the entire body. So if this piece of flesh is correct, the entire body will be correct. And if this piece of flesh has been tainted, then the entire body will be tainted. And then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah, listen carefully. He al-qalb, this is the heart of a person. So one is to spend time in the company of these people. And the reason for doing this is so that our heart becomes correct. Take a simple example, that if a person has a tree growing outside, and you see the leaves are not coming, the flowers are not coming, there's no fruit or anything. What will a sane person do? The compost and fertilizer, the water, etc., you're going to be giving it to the roots. He's not going to be watering the leaves, throwing the fertilizer on the branches, etc. But he'll deal with the roots. Because once the roots are sorted out, everything else got sorted out as well. So in a similar way, we find that once our heart is correct, then everything else in our body will become correct. And I'm not saying this, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying this. As far as the belief in Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is concerned, just mention one or two things. Our belief as a Muslim, we believe, that is, we have full conviction what Allah says and what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says. Whether I understand it or not, whether it appeals to my mind or not, I accept it. This is iman, iman bil ghayb. And this is the condition of a true believer as expressed in the Quran. So every day we're making dua, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, Allah guide us on a straight path. And Allah give us proper iman. How do I know whether my iman is right or not? This also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sorted out for us. فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا. Allah ta'ala says, if your iman is like that of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, then know well you are on guidance. So something, someone tells us something that is in the Quran or Hadith, how do we react? One way is this, we totally accept it. The only other way mentioned in the Quran is that of the munafiqeen. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسِ. When it is told to them to bring iman like the people, Sahaba radiallahu anhum bring iman, قَالُوا أَنُؤْمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَهَا. They say, should we believe the way the fools believe? In other words, regarding Sahaba radiallahu anhum as fools, نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. Allah, again Allah Ta'ala says, listen carefully. إِنَّهُمْ هُمُ السُّفَهَا. The people making this statement, they are the foolish ones. وَلَكِنْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. So when I'm told something that is mentioned in the Quran or in the Hadith of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how I respond will exactly tell me the level of my iman. Continuing with the topic regarding the heart, so what happens with the heart is, we find the people, like we mentioned the story of the tree, once the roots are sorted out, then the tree will get sorted out. So we find many a time a person is doing all the outward actions of Islam. Person is performing salah, alhamdulillah. And that's a great action as well. But as far as the etiquette are concerned, person is fulfilling all the etiquette, he's got good character. The beauty of Islam he has on him, displaying the beard, for example, a person is wearing the sunnah libas. But certain times, because the reason is incorrect, these actions are not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll give you an example. First of all, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us in the hadith, the dua, Ya musarrif al-qulub, sarrif qulubana ala ta'atik. Oh Allah, the one who turns the hearts. Again, Allah ta'ala has mentioned the word heart here. Ya musabbit al-qulub, sabbit qalbi ala deenik. So these words of the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's a reason. We should be making this dua for a simple reason. Our hearts need to be corrected. And if a person's heart is not correct, also mentioned in the hadith, everyone knows this hadith, on the day of Qiyamah, three persons will be brought, three groups of people, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these three people will be among the first who will be going to Jahannam. First will be an alim. Everyone knows the great virtue and value. One hadith mentions, khayrukum, the best among you is he who learns the Quran and teaches it. So this alim will be brought. And an account will be taken from him. Then a generous person will be brought. Everyone needs the wealth of people. So we find the madaris are run on this. People need to build masjids. People need to dig wells. The wealth, the wealthy people are all being generous and spending. And the hadith mentions the third group of people are those people who are the mujahideen. People who made the ultimate sacrifice. They gave their lives for Islam. When they will be brought in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hadith mentions they will be among the first to be thrown in Jahannam for the simple reason that there was no ikhlas in their actions. So the actions are all good actions, but because the heart was not generated with this ikhlas, for the simple reason, like a simple thing, just ikhlas, these people will be among to be first to be thrown into Jahannam. The hadith also Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ أَجْسَامِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. Again, the word qalb is refolia. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at the way your heart is. So we find these qualities that are found in a heart not easily traceable. A person has pride, he's going to say, no, I got no pride. person is saying, you've got a problem with your anger, you've got anger issues, you don't know what you're talking about. You're making ghibat of a certain person, what do they reply? It's not ghibat, I can tell it to him in his face also. So comments like this are being passed for the simple reason that we haven't got the correct suhbat, we haven't got the correct people we are spending our time with. In the ayah that has been mentioned also previously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا, seven oaths are taken, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Verily that person is successful who has cleansed and purified his heart. So if you look at the tafsir, أَفْلَحَ means such a success after which there is no failure. In this world there's a possibility a person is successful, person is grade 8, isn't like he goes to grade 9, he fails. Person starts a business, after 2 years he's got a great profit, third year there's no profit. So there's a possibility of a person failing. However, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ, such a success after which there is no failure, is for that person who has cleansed and purified his nafs. Another ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for the people who are going to Jannah, وَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. This is the reward and the recompense of that person who has cleansed and purified himself. So two simple things we learn. One, that a person has to be in the company of the pious. And there's no such thing that there are no more pious persons. Hazrat Mawlana Sahib always reminds us that if a person is in such a town where you can't find any person who you are saying are so pious, then go sit in the company of the muazzin. You can't find according to you, he says, just go sit in the company of the muazzin. He will be regarded as a pious person there. So this will continue until the day of Qiyamah. And how, together with this, as we've been hearing also, if we look at the life of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, whatever we are discussing here, in what we call the khanqa, when a person is involved in tasawuf, all the discussions that are mentioned here, these are all from the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. All the Quran and Kareem. So a person has problems, the Shaykh will tell him, go make some zikr, do certain actions. Allah mentions, Allah bi zikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. If you say that I'm making the zikr and I'm not receiving this, in other words, there's something wrong with my iman, because Allah says that with the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do the heart finds contentment. Then they're also teaching us that a person should be making muhasabah every day before a person sleep. We find this in the life of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. The majalis of zikr was also taking place in their time. Then they mention also certain things that a person should remain aloof from. When a person joins this, a person understands certain things, the ustad, the sheikh will tell him that now you have to start speaking less. You have to start eating less. Sleep less also. Qillatul ikhtilat bil anam. You don't have to mix with each and every person that you see. And the one thing also that is mentioned there, that a person should cut off ta'alluq with everything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a person comes here, all these things exactly that were taught in the lifetime of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that were in the life of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, we are just basically refreshed here. Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned something to that effect, that death is a sufficient as a reminder for a person who wishes to take a lesson. So we come here, ulama tell us that at night, take some time out before you sleep. The person comes here to the khanka every night. The books are read about maut qiyad, the remembrance of death, and together with that shawqa watan, the desire for our original abode, which is the year after. So when a person learns, listen to these things, these are all from the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a person's inclination is towards the year after. And then a person's heart will come right. When a person's heart is right, the entire body follows this. And in this way, a person also, inshallah, he'll accomplish what Allah Ta'ala wants him, and what that Allah wants from him, that a person must be a abd. Just one more thing we'll mention, inshallah, regarding shukr. One of the greatest qualities, all these qualities we learn when we come here, but we've chosen this one specifically. Many a times, you go home now also, on the way home, you see at home, your families also, everyone is upset, certain things are not working out right for them. We came from lands, 3 days there was no lights. Everyone is complaining. So one alim put it very beautifully. The one day there was no water. He said, that day when you had no water, did you ever think of all the times that you did have water? And not only did you have water, Allah has made it so easy for us, we living in homes, houses, you just open the tap and the water is already there. Time of Sahaba, a person has to make wudu. He has to go outside, take the bucket, go to the well, take out the water, warm it, then make wudu. For us, it's a 2-3 minutes process. And Allah's promise is, if you are grateful, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, I will definitely increase it for you. If you are grateful, Allah's promise is, I will definitely increase it for you. But Allah mentioned the condition of a vast majority of the people, قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says, that sounds like a way that a person is lamenting, قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ, very little that you are making. You perhaps making shukr, but it's very little that you are doing as far as the shukr is concerned. وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ, Allah Ta'ala says, from my servants, my slaves, again this word ibad is used, Allah says very few of them are among those who are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should be taking out time daily for this one aspect of our life to be shakir to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the story is mentioned about a taxi driver. Can't remember where was this. But this person was a taxi driver for about 70 years. Continued doing his work, and obviously it took a toll on him, so this person became ill. And his illness was such that this person could not pass urine, could not go to the toilet. So anyway, they went to the hospital, and the surgeons decided we have to do what we have to do. And they sorted out the problem. According to them, they sorted out the problem. And when he came, finished, he saw, he was, alhamdulillah, everything well. So this person brought him the bill. Watch, how much is it going to cost you for all this, whole operation? So he started crying. So the surgeon said, don't worry. If you can't afford it, I'll make it half for you. And if you can't even do that, then what I will do is I'll even waive the thing. You don't have to pay for it. Because he was crying. So he says, no, I'm not crying for this. I can pay. This for me is nothing to pay. But the reason I'm crying is that for 70 years, I was going to the toilet, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't claim anything from me. So there's Arabic saying that an ni'matu idha fuqidat urifat, only when you don't have it, then you will realize it. So any difficulty a person is facing, also the hadith mentions, unzuru ila man huwa asfala minkum. There's people that's much worse off than you. I'm complaining there's no electricity, I've got blankets. Did I ever think, oh Allah, these fellow Muslims of mine, other parts of the world, they haven't even got shelters. They've got no water. They've got no food. Did I ever make dua for them? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala imbibed within us this quality of shukr. And one alim mentioned that it's simple. He says every week a person should do this. We're saying every day actually you should be doing this. Just before you go to bed, sit on your bed and think. Your body, just the body itself, say, Wallah, I'm grateful for this body you've given me. And then 5 minutes, say, Wallah, this head of mine is totally functioning. I'm grateful to you. My eyes are in working order. Wallah, I'm grateful. My tongue, every part of the body, says 5 minutes, mention this. Everyone's complaining that our health is not good. If I do this, Allah's promise is, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. So every day we should be doing this. Not only this also, but every night, I'm thinking when I see someone, the hadith teaches us quite clearly, if you see someone in any difficulty, you read a dua, الحمد لله الذي عافاني مما ابتلاك به وفضلني على كثير ممن خلق تفضيلا. You read this dua. And the hadith mentions, if you read this, Allah will save you with the difficulty that person is involved in. So ulama mentioned, and this also, where you learn this, you won't find it in any book, except in the company of these people. And you see things that you haven't heard of, you haven't seen, you haven't thought of. So ulama, to give the example, of the sun, if a person goes outside, everyone is getting the rays of the sun. But if you take a magnifying glass and you shine it on a piece of paper, that paper can catch fire. So he mentions that each and every one is us, Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with his marifa to a certain degree. But this mashayikh that we are sitting in their company, they are like this magnifying glass. So when the nuraniyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is coming and it is focused upon them, it is intensified and then give us to us. So like I was mentioning regarding this dua, if a person reads it, he will be saved from that difficulty. So the ulama mentioned if a person sees a person committing any sin, then also he should be making this dua. And if according to the words of the hadith, you will be saved from that sin of that person as well. So basically our object of coming here is simple. One, we should correct our hearts. And secondly, that a person should be spending time in the company of the pious, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq inshallah.